word in Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm going to preach to you about an autopsy on failure. You guys know what an autopsy is. When something dies, they try to figure out why it died. Just recently, did you guys see that there was a, I see Albert sitting right there, there was a murder-suicide in Walter Hill, where the guy killed his wife, and then I think it was her parents. I think he left the children and let the children go. But it was an incredible thing, and it was so sad. And I didn't really know anything about it, and I was sitting at lunch with a guy who was at his pastor, the guy who committed the murder, and he was just telling me about the situation. But I read an article, and somebody said something about the guy that struck me as just not odd, but just it caught my attention. One of the friends of the guy who committed the murder said this about him. He had a problem admitting his own faults. And I thought to myself, I wonder if anybody ever told him. And if they did tell him, did he listen? How prevalent is that, that we have glaring issues in our life that nobody ever addresses it? Or if they do, it's very easy to get defensive. It's very easy to point the finger at somebody else. But here's the thing I learned. Pointing out your problems don't solve mine. Right. Tell your neighbor that. Pointing out your problems don't solve mine. I tell him, I've been waiting on you to admit that. I think we should all take a look. We're going to end in faith. But I think we should all take a look at our failures in life to figure out why we fail. Well. And this morning, we're going to do an autopsy on failure. When I worked for Cigna, I was a financial analyst / underwriter, and we lost the case. And that next week, I got an email that says, we're going to do a postmortem on that case. Postmortem is you're going to go back and figure out why you lost it. I was defensive because I was part of the reason why we lost it. And I could not wait for that meeting. I walked into it defensive. None of y'all ever do that. When you know you're wrong, you want to get the attention off you so you deflect it on somebody else. Y'all never do that, right? So I walked into the meeting defensive. I was ready to tell everybody why it wasn't my fault when I knew it was. And the meeting was not going so well. My boss sent me an email and said, calm down. It's not about you losing your job, because the reality is I was making it about me and it was about the company. When you are a deflector, you make everything about you instead of about what it should be about. And you have to shift from blaming to responsibility. Blaming is pointing the finger. It's shame. It's guilt. You did this, and I did. I wouldn't cuss you out if you weren't so stupid. It's stuff like that. You all right? And it's never owning up to what it is I'm supposed to be doing. And here's what I learned. I can't blame you for my own failure. I have to take responsibility and ownership for my life. Because watch this, many of us never solve the problem because the real problem never gets in the room. We find people who will co-sign with our issues. We lose job after job, and you find somebody, yeah, they tripping over there. They just intimidated by you. This is what it sounds like. They can't handle your gift. They can't handle the fact that you're smarter than they are, and that's why they're treating you the way you are. You're not the smartest person everywhere you go. It's not everybody picking on you everywhere you go. At some point, you got to stop and take a look in the mirror and ask myself, why do I keep going through the same thing? Anybody ever ask yourself that question? Here's what I found out. I will never succeed until I figured out why I failed. So this morning, I'm going to do an autopsy on failure. And here's a scripture I'm going to use. Y'all ready for this? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 21 through 23. Do me a favor. I want you to pull up on your smartphone or your Bible there, and I want you to follow along with me. It says this. Under three things the earth trembles, and under four, it cannot bear up. So it's basically telling you there's four things we're going to talk about. The first thing is this. A slave when he becomes a king. Stop. Your human mind thinks of the slavery here in the United States where there was a slave master beating slaves. That's not necessarily the case here. It's an employee who worked for an employer. It's not the case of slavery as you see it. So a slave when he becomes a king. I'll explain it more in a minute. A fool when he is filled with food. Y'all never met that person before, right? Verse 23 says this, an unloved woman when she gets a husband. And a maidservant when she displaces her mistress. Now, that ain't the side chick. He said, mistress? No. That mistress is queen. So it's when a maidservant, someone who serves the queen, displaces her. All right? So there's the four type of people that you'll see that you're going to encounter. Hopefully this will never be you. If it is, we're going to figure out how to get out of it. And when you go places, you'll experience failure. And I'm going to use these four people, and I'm going to explain four reasons why we fail. Are you ready? Reason number one, it's wasted influence because You don't know how to handle power. Here's the reason why it's hard for a slave when he becomes a king, particularly if he thinks like a slave when he is a king. Number one is power is too much for you. It's like putting an AK-7 in the hand of a seven-year-old. This mentality, when it finally gets power, is rude, it's arrogant, it's overbearing, and it makes the position about themselves and not the responsibility of the of what you've been given. Let me give you a prime example. I cut hair when I was in college, and there was a dude that came to school. He was from Memphis. Anybody from Memphis in the house? What up, man? So he was from Memphis, right? He came to school with 21 credit hours, a 4.0, smart guy, real skinny guy, walked around with just vest with his just arm, just bones hanging out. And nobody paid attention to the dude. I cut his hair all 4 years of college until he pledged Alpha Phi Alpha. He pledged Alpha Phi Alpha, and all the ladies said, oh, he got a 4.0. He going to medical school. He is a medical doctor to this day, and they started blowing his head up. And he walked in, and he had this little air about him when he's come get his hair cut. Before, he was just, you know, nice little dude come in. He came in with a little air. I said, hey, man, I ain't saying this because I'm a Kappa and you're an Alpha, but can I tell you something? I said, them same girls that walk by you and didn't pay you no attention, and now you got them letters on your chest, and they paying you attention, you got to ask yourself, are they really for you? These same people that disregarded you when you didn't have nothing, they didn't know who you are, and now all of a sudden they think you somebody, and they blowing your head up. Bro, you got to be careful, because you got to know who's really with you. When you get power and you don't know how to handle it, it will go to your head. Yeah. And I want to challenge you guys in here. God's going to use you tremendously. And when he does, do not get the big head with it.
That's right.
Because you are not all God has.
All right.
God can use any of us.
Yes.
I think I'm doing something because y'all driving way to the middle of the country, the church. But do you not know that God can go in any one of these cities and get a drunk and clean him up, and he'll use him just like he'll use anybody else?
Oh, yes.
I don't care if you're from Harvard or from the ghetto. God can use any of us.
Yes.
So never look your nose down at somebody. God can use
all
of us. So power is too much for some of us. So you got to learn how to handle the power. And another thing is this. Another reason why it's hard when a slave becomes a king, particularly when he thinks like a slave, is you suffer with an inferiority complex. You always feel like you have something to prove. There's a brother that I'm playing for. He's an extremely talented brother. Y'all call him Ye. He used to be Kanye back in the day. And he had a saying a few years ago in one of his songs. It was so true. He said, people highest up have the lowest self-esteem. And the reality is your issues are magnified when God begins to blow you up. And you got to make sure you deal with your issues where you are right now. Because if you don't right now, they become magnified on every level that they own. And it's hard to lead when you're hurting yourself. And if you are hurting and you are put in a position of influence, here's what I found out. Hurting people hurt people, and they're easily hurt by other people. And you'll walk into a situation hurt, and you'll need God to help you because you're trying to lead out of that hurt. Here's the antidote to this failure right here. A shepherd can't think like a sheep. Can I say that again? Shepherds can't think like sheep. Is there anything wrong with being a sheep? Absolutely not. But when you are a shepherd, it means you are a responsible one. It's not about you. It's not about, I got 1,000 sheep following you. If you got 1,000 sheep, that's a lot of responsibility. And to whom much is given, much is required. It ain't about you, because watch this. When times get tough, you can't sit back there and hide behind the sheep. You got to man up, woman up, and be responsible. You know what that looks like? Isaiah sitting, you listen to me, Isaiah. Isaiah sitting right there. That's trying to get called out. He's sitting right here. My father is sitting right there. When I walk in his house, I'm Wayne Scales' son.
Yes.
But when I walk in my house, I'm Isaiah Scales' father.
Yes.
Isaiah is not looking for Wayne's son. He's looking for his father. Oh. When I walk in my house, I'm the shepherd, and I got to be the responsible one.
Oh, yes.
But when I walk in his house, I got to bow down. Daddy, give me $100. He asking me for it. Got to know how to switch your hats.
Yes.
You got to know when it's time to step up and when it's time to follow.
Yes.
And here's what I learned. Every great leader was always a great follower.
Yes.
Here's what he needs to see. He needs to see me follow him.
That's right.
He needs to see me submit to a man in my life. Watch this. Because I'll tell it about every man in your life. If your father's not in the picture, your son needs to see you model sonship somewhere. So that he knows how, and the same thing with womanhood. Needs to say, what does a strong woman look like? Because here's the problem. You will waste influence if you are a slave and you become a king and you still think like a slave. If I still thought like a son, I'd have a hard time being his father.
Right.
Because when the new Jordans drop, he may be shoeless, but I'm clean. No, here's the truth. When time hits, if I'm wearing a little skip from Walmart, it don't matter as long as this dude right here, because he is my responsibility. That's what happens when you man up or woman up. Here's the next thing is this. Here's failure number two. Failure number two is a life controlled by your emotional state, which leads to wasted opportunities because of wasted resources. Here's the Bible says this. A fool when he is filled with food. There is nothing wrong with being full. There is this thing that people think you are closer to God when you are broke and when you don't have nothing. God is not glorified when you are getting your electric bill cut off every week. You get an eviction. No, I'm close to God. I'm just praying all day. When you get finished praying, ask God how you're going to pay your rent and your electric bill, because it's not a good look as a Christian and a believer when you're struggling like that. God doesn't want you leaking a quart of oil out in the church parking lot and everywhere you go. God wants you full. No. The problem is not being full. The problem is when you are full with it. Here's the thing about being a fool. A fool don't care. And you can't argue with a fool. Y'all look back and look at me real good. You can't argue with a fool. A fool don't care how loud they get. They don't care where they are. You can be married to a fool and you sitting in the restaurant. Maybe we need to. I don't care about these people in here. This is what we're going to talk about right now. They ain't paying none of our bills. You cannot argue with a fool, because a fool does not care. You go to a restaurant, and if you have a fool working there, you tell them, hey, this ain't working. Use the other one. They just don't care. Y'all right in here? A fool wastes resources. They waste a responsibility. And here's the thing about a fool. They're only cognizant of their own emotional state. They don't care about anybody's emotional state around them. Here's the thing about this. When God blesses you with food or resources, he wants you full so that you can do something for him. I want to tell you the antidote to not be a fool in life, because here's the thing. Many of us wake up and we realize how foolish we were. I look up and how foolish I was as a 20-something year old. Debt freedom is big for me now. My dad paid off my car when I was in college, over $1,000-something. And my mom said, Jason, you happy now you're going to get your car paid off? No, ma'am, I'm going to buy me a BMW. And I did. And sold the car that he paid off. Now we're looking at debt freedom. I was a fool. Here's the thing about value when you are a fool. You don't realize the value of something until you no longer have it. And you look up and think, that was a good woman. He was a good man. I had great parents. I want to tell you, don't be a fool. Understand the value of what you have right now. Does that make sense in here? Here's an antidote to this right here. Humble yourself when we're cocky and running our mouth. Get a vision for life, be competent, and value people and value things that God blesses you with. Here's the third failure that we experience in life. Y'all right out here? The third failure is this. Proverbs 30:23 says this. An unloved woman when she gets a husband. And ladies, don't get offended by that, because the last two we talked about males. It said when a fool when he gets full. And then we talked about a slave when he becomes a king. I don't want to look at this just in terms of gender. I want to look at this in terms of a person who doesn't love themselves. Many of us have failed relationships because this is the person that doesn't love themselves, so they can't effectively receive and give love to anybody else. Do you know why? Because this person is never satisfied. They really don't know what they want, so they're frustrated with you because you're not meeting a need on the inside of them. And an unloved person projects their issues onto other people, and watch what happens. The person who loves them owns their issues, and they want to make sure that they're happy, and the reality is they can't make you happy unless you want to be. I got a friend of mine started, he had a trainer that was working for him years ago. He said, Jason, I want you to try him out. Barbara tried him out, she liked him, and I went, and when I got finished, I was throwing up. My leg, you know how you be so just wore out the next day, my thighs and my stomach, everything, I was just walking like this. Dude start texting me and calling me back. I ain't answer his calls. Then I saw him in Walmart one day. He went that way, and I ducked out the other way. I ain't find him. And he texted my friend. He said, man, your boy not calling me back. And he said, hey, man, why don't you call him back? I said, well, I made up all kinds of excuses. The reality was the guy began to question. He said, did not I do a good job? What was wrong? Well, nothing wrong with him. Something was wrong with me. And many of us are walking around with issues because somebody put their issue on you, and you think something is wrong with you, and they're the one with the problem. I want you to be very careful in life. I want you to figure out this is not the case in all situations, but it's the case in some situations. Yeah. Never take on somebody's issues that's not your own.
That's right.
You know, am I right in here?
Oh, yeah.
Never take on somebody's issues. You got enough problems of your own.
Right.
I got enough problems than to take on your problems. Is that all right in here? Here's another thing. Unloved people end up running off their blessing. Can I say that again? Unloved people end up running off their blessing. They berate, they nag, and they fuss because they're looking for somebody to fill a void in their life that they cannot fill. Let me give you a prime example. You guys have seen me do this before, but can I show you what it looks like? You can have two people who look the same. Both of these cups look the same. Am I right about it? Both of these cups are going to receive the same thing. Here's what happens when you try to love a person who doesn't know how to receive love and who is unloved. You're giving them everything you have. I'm giving you date nights. I'm giving you attention. I'm giving you all the affirmation in the world. And the problem is not what you're pouring. The problem is the person can't contain what it is that you're pouring into them. And nothing you do is enough. There's no amount of respect that's enough. There's no amount of time that's enough. And here's what happens because you're frustrated. Here's what happens. You stop pouring. And the problem is not what you're doing. The problem is fixing the wholeness in your life. People take on a whole new meaning in life when you know who you are.
That's right.
Because can't nobody beat you loving you. And if you don't love yourself first, it's going to be very hard for you to receive love from somebody else. And the love you receive is going to be perverted because you're going to expect them to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. Man, I love Isaiah with everything I got in me. But, man, my confidence just can't. I can't pull from him something I'm supposed to pull from God.
Yeah.
I love my father with everything I got in me. I'm glad to be his son. But there's a point in life where I had to get a relationship with God that I had to establish my own identity, that I am more than his son and I am more than his father. Before I was any of that, God formed me in heaven and he put me here on the earth through them. I have a purpose. You all right in here? And I want to challenge you guys in here that are going through. You say, man, I'm doing everything I know to do. I don't know what else to do. I'm pouring. And you're frustrated. I'm giving everything I got. It don't seem like I'm appreciated. It don't seem like I'm respected. And I challenge you, don't stop pouring. The problem is not your pouring. There's nothing wrong with going on date nights. There's nothing wrong with pampering yourself. There's nothing wrong with going on vacations. I want to challenge you to get whole, so that you can enjoy what's being poured. I want to challenge you to develop into a place with God that you can adequately receive, because here's the thing. In order for you to receive what God has placed in your life, you got to learn to love yourself.
Uh-huh.
Learning to love yourself is not you taking $1,000 and going on a vacation and pampering yourself and pedicure and manicure. That stuff is good. That's loving on yourself. Loving yourself is accepting who you are. This is who God created me to be. Learning how you are wired. I had to learn that. I love when y'all say amen to me. Y'all can say it right now. Say amen.
Amen.
That feel good. Say it again.
Amen.
Yeah. I got this one preacher I love. He said, say amen to that. So I'm going to start saying that. It makes me feel good. I'm a words of affirmation type person. But watch this. If I don't know who I am, I'll pull from you something I'm not supposed to pull. By nature, I am a teacher. I do illustrations. I talk. I like to explain. But I love them hooping, singing preachers. And I wish I could do it, because, yeah, man, when them preachers get the hooping and singing, boy, y'all get to turning in circles, people who are normally reserved, say a word, sir. I like that kind of carrying on. I like when that organ get to going, all that. But that's not, I can do that, but that's not by nature who I am. When I get excited, I do that. Now, I can go be somebody else, or I can be me, because there's only one me of all times. Or I can knock people who are not like me. No. I choose to celebrate whoever, however you are, but I've learned to accept who I am, so I'm not like this scripture, an unloved woman when she gets a husband. Because watch this. If you walk into a position of influence and God blesses you and you don't know who you are, you will abuse it. And here's what I learned. When purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. Some of y'all grew up with that. How many of y'all grew up in the house where you had the big TV that sat on the floor? And when it quit working, you put the other TV on top of it. There wasn't no TV stand. It just stopped working, and you start using it for something else. Y'all laughing. But how many of y'all are letting yourself be abused because you're letting somebody use you for something you were never intended for? When you know who you are, it's not stuck up, it's not cocky, it's not self-righteous, but when you know who you are, You don't put up with no junk. You don't put up with no mess. You ain't going to talk to me crazy because I'm a child of the King. I know who I am. You're not going to make me question myself. I love myself. You ain't got to think I look good. I already think I look good. Why? Because I'm a child of a King, and God don't make no mess. So if you don't love me, it's all right. I love myself. Wake up in the morning, just hug myself. What you doing? Just hug, just loving on me. Why? Because if you don't love yourself, the love you receive from others will be perverted. You sit all the time, and it's easy to sit with parents and their children. You try to live your life vicariously through them. Find out who they are. Find out who your spouse is. Understand who you are. That's the antidote for dealing with this. That makes sense here. The last thing, and I'm through. It says, a maid servant when she displaces her mistress or her queen. Here's the fourth failure I think we suffer with. You think you want something until you get it. Y'all have been there before. Here's the thing about God. He answers prayers. But you better be careful what you pray for. Because you just might get it. And you're going to ask yourself, is this what I wanted? Lord, I wanted that BMW. 1998 Porsche BMW. It had some rims on it. I like driving up places. I used to park in the back, but when I had that BMW, I drove up front. Marcus had my Kappa tag on the front and the back. And I pulled up slow, and I walked out. I valet parked. I ain't going to give him $3, but I like the valet. I like it when I get out, I walked a little bit, and I hit the button and said, click it. I love that sound. I felt smooth when I did it until I had to change the brakes. And I couldn't go to Buddy down the street because Buddy didn't have the tool to replace the brakes on that bin until I had to get the oil changed, till my water pump went out. And I started saying, Jesus, Jesus. And that thing that was a blessing became a curse. And that I was riding long, and the people be riding, why are your windows down? My water pump ain't working. I ain't cutting this air on. His car going to overheat, and I ain't got time to be fixing it. Stuff go wrong. You know what I'm talking about here. Be careful what you ask for, because when you ask for it, you got to take care of it. You all right in here? So when you pray, God's going to answer you. But here's the challenge. When many of us don't know what we're asking for, we see somebody else doing something and they look great doing it. That's a debate. Is LeBron the GOAT? Is Michael Jordan? I don't care. They make more money than all of us in here. And we sitting there watching them. They all good. But the reality is this. When you see somebody who's good at what they're doing, it's easy to minimize it because people are good, make what they do look easy. And you have no idea what goes on behind what you see. Oh, you see people, man, they going on vacation. Hey, we ain't been nowhere, babe. You have no idea what it took for them to get into a position. Their marriage looked perfect. You don't even know what they're arguing about. You don't know what kind of insecurities they struggle with. You don't know what they've been through as a couple. Be careful what you size up and you say it looks easy and you compare yourself to it. Because you watch this. You see people's glory, but you have no idea their story. Is anybody here? I see y'all looking good. Your nails done, your hair done, everything done in here. But people don't know what you have been through. Is anybody here, you look good right now, but you don't look like what you've been through?
Oh, yes.
Can you stop and give God praise right there that I don't look like the hell that I've been through? Here's the reason why we fail here. Because we're ignorant. We don't know what we don't know. And we're normally taught by opinionated people, not by competent people. And when you're taught this way, I love the way Bishop Walker in Nashville says this. We take in constructive criticism from people who never constructed a thing. They ain't never built nothing. And trying to tell you how to do stuff. They everything they've done is falling apart and failed. What's that old Chinese African proverb? Never let a naked man sell you clothes. I mean, you sitting there just buying, just wolf to you, just letting people just counsel you downhill. But be careful when you take, ladies and gentlemen, when you take marriage counseling. Don't take it from the most insecure, paranoid, controlling person you work with, and they have you coming home looking crazy at your spouse and they ain't done nothing. You ain't come home on time. Such and so-and-so said, that's the way it started there. I got stopped at the red light. And ain't that many red lights in Murfreesboro. They don't last that long, do they? Stop to the who you looking at the donut shop? All these things in your head. Watch this. People will project their issues, and you'll take on their issues, and you will create your own drama and star in it. You will. I'm serious. Be careful who you're listening to, because a lack of understanding coupled with passion is a bad combination. You got to know what goes on behind what you see. And I told you, anytime you see something that looks easy, it's because somebody put in a lot of work to make it happen. Another reason we fail in this thing right here is that we have the wrong motives. A maidservant, when she displaces her queen, these are people who say all the right things, but their heart's not in the right place. I love this saying I heard somebody say, and I want to live by it. I'd rather a person be real than right all the time. People who are right all the time, they could be jerks. They rub it in your face. It's like they're here and you're there. But I trust the person who's real. I trust the person who can admit, you know what? I messed up. Players mess up too. I love a person who can admit, I don't always get, y'all right? I love a person who can admit, I don't always get it right. As a pastor, I'm telling you here right now, I'm preaching to you right now, but watch this. I'm going through just like you. I got to listen to this same sermon that I'm preaching. I got to live it out every single day of my life. I don't have no little magic potion that makes my life perfect. So y'all can say, cheer me on because I'm so perfect and I'm this and I'm that. No, I am not. We're all in this thing together. And here's what I trust. I trust the person who's real. Because there's something genuine about you that I can put my fingers on. But a person that's always right, somebody's always like, there's something more to this story right here. I want you to go on and be honest and say, I got issues. Let me let you go and relax. Tell your neighbor, I got issues. They know it. They just waiting on you to admit it. They do. I struggle with insecurity. You struggle with procrastination. When you can be honest about it, people can give you grace with it. When you have the wrong motives, here's what happens. You will sit there and critique people who are doing something that you want to do. I don't tell you how many times. I probably need to apologize to my parents as well. They don't understand. Daddy was raised with Moses. He walked the Red Sea. He don't understand where I'm at right now. Same stuff he went through, I'm going through, and this boy right here going to go through it. You know, you can look at, some of y'all got kids in here, look at your kids' face. You know exactly, oh, they done met somebody. Who they look, they ain't like bass. Now all of a sudden they taking three a day and put clones on. Who the little girl? Who the little boy? How you know? Let me see your phone. Who you texting to? You just know. Be real with them. And here's the thing. Don't judge people up when you see people struggling, because you never know where you'll be. Barbara and I were sitting at this event, and we saw this couple that didn't speak to each other for an hour. We got in the car and said, that's a shame. Can't believe folks get mad and sit there and don't speak to each other. Until she got on my nerves and I got on hers. I said, Lord, it's been a whole day and we ain't said nothing to each other. Walking down the hall like this by each other so we don't touch. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't want your elbows to rub or nothing. Married people look at me straight. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. So they're judging everybody up. Be real with it. I heard somebody make this statement, and it's so true. I'm sorry, I done got way off track with it. They said, watch this. If all of you want to be married, they say premarital counseling is good, but it really don't make sense until you get married. Because when everybody is going through premarital counseling, man, we got something special, Pastor. Man, you know, I ain't never had a love like this. No, for real. Like, she get me, I get her. You understand? We finish each other's sentences. We be talking for hours. Man, it's just like, man, I ain't never felt nothing like this a day in my life. We got, and you sitting there telling them about how life going to be. I know how you say life going to be, but, man, we got something real. Until you get married. Whoa. And them little twinkly things start wearing off. I'm not telling you marriage is bad, but watch this. You have a fairy tale of what you think it is. It's realer than you think. And then you will start listening when you start going through stuff. And y'all used to look at each other and be like, y'all couldn't keep y'all hands off each other. And now you're like, I wish you would. No, I'm serious. It's real. Somebody give me a hand. Serious. I'm just playing. Be careful. What are you looking at? Now, I'm not telling you, all you want to get married, get married. It's great. It's a great thing. It's real, too. It's real because not only are you dealing with them goosebumps, you watch this. That person, whenever you date them, whenever you're dating, they still got the best foot forward. When you get married, people relax. You're going to go through life together. Women, your body changes after you get, start having children. Not in a bad way. I mean, you get your hormones. You go through stuff. Fellas, you're not the person you were when you got married. Responsibility pulls a different side of you. I thought I was the most laid-back person there was until I got married. I'm like, man, I'm sitting here like James Evans fussing every day. Because I want everything my way. And she did too. You got to be careful what you're looking at. Because when you want something, don't look at what nobody else is doing. Prepare yourself for what God has for you. Here's the antidote for this failure right here. You trust God to get you where you need to be. You ain't got to do nothing underhanded. You don't have to lie on nobody. You don't have to throw nobody under the bus. You don't have to grandstand. You don't have to be a diva. You don't have to be none of these things. When God gets ready to promote you, he ain't going to call none of us in here and ask you, is it time? When God wants to bless you, he will bless you all by himself. God don't care who like you or who does. God said it is your time, it is your season, and when God blesses you and you know that God got you there, you ain't got to look over your shoulder. You ain't got to make no side deals that you got to live up to that you got in there. You ain't trying to cover your tracks. You know when God got you there, you're not paranoid till when trouble comes. You say, God, you blessed me with this, so I need you to take care of this. I'm through, but one of my favorite preachers says this. He says this, you can make a blessing, but you'll miss a blessing. And the one you miss is always greater than the one you make. You got to make a decision. Are you going to make a blessing and miss a blessing? Or are you going to wait on God to bless you with his best? Stand to your feet all over the building. I want to pray for the people in here. Perhaps you're struggling with it. Not in a bad way. You're just trying to figure life out. You're heavy. There's some things that are not working the way you thought they were going to work, and you need to see God be that way maker, miracle worker. And you say, God, I've experienced some failure.